With Pastor Teacher Harry Reeder, this is In Perspective.
9/11, 2001, 3,000 plus innocent lives were abruptly and violently ended with an act of terrorism called jihad. On 9/12, 2001, over 3,000 innocent lives were abruptly and violently ended by a terrorist attack called abortion.
Welcome and stay with us as Harry Reeder applies the scriptures to the everyday events of life, that we might begin to view our existence from God's eternal perspective, that we might view all of life from a biblical perspective. Today on In Perspective, Dr. Harry Reeder brings us part two of the message, I Care What God Cares About. 9/11 has become an instantly recognizable watchword that conjures up memories of the terrorist attack on the Twin Towers. We remember over 3,000 innocent American lives that were lost that day, but we give no thought to the more than 3,000 innocent American lives that were lost on the very next day. On September 12, 2001, over 3,000 innocent American lives were abruptly and violently ended by a terrorist attack called abortion, an assault on human life that has been repeated in this country every day since then. When will our nation and the American church begin to care passionately about what God cares passionately about, the sanctity of human life? If you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 6 and verses 19 through 24. Let's rejoin Pastor Teacher Harry Reeder with part two of the message, I Care What God Cares About.
Let me flesh this out with five thoughts for you. Here's the first one. God's cares have become my cares because I know He cares. God's cares have become my cares because I know He cares. So that leads me to number two. God cares about life. God cares about life. Sin brings death. God brings life. The reason that death is here is because of the judgment of God upon our sin. The wages of sin is death. But God brings life, and God cares about life. God cares about life throughout the scriptures. He cares about life so much that He gave His Son to take the death that we should have for eternity on the cross, that we could have life now, new life, then eternal life. He cares about life. In His law, right in the middle, He puts a commandment, you shall not commit murder. Now, He's not saying that there's not a place in a broken world where the state has to bear the sword to defend somebody and people lose lives. He's not talking about whether someone should forfeit their life if they have taken someone else's life because of the sanctity of life. You can't take life. But He is saying, on your own vengeance. And so, but He is saying, don't commit murder, the unjust taking of life. Why? I give life. I take life away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He says, don't you take life. Now, folks, again, let me just take just a moment. God's commandments are built upon His character. And they're given to a sinful people, most of them in a negative, because we're sinners. Don't commit murder. But the reason the negative is there is to get the positive in our life, to direct us to the positive. In other words, when He says, don't murder, He is also saying, commit life. When He says, don't commit adultery, He's saying, commit purity. Hold the marriage bed in honor among all. When He's saying, don't lie, He's saying, speak the truth. When He says, don't covet, He's saying, be content. When He says, don't steal and take, He's saying, work and give. That's what He's saying. He's got the prohibition, don't murder, in order to move us by grace to His glory, to the admonition, commit life. The Lord embraces life. He created life. He is life. He sent Christ who becomes our life. He is the one who liberates us from the penalty of eternal death. It is the Lord who cares about life, and He cares about life, and He cares about this life. Let me give you an example of how much He cares life. He builds a whole case law that when people take life, here's what you do with them. And by the way, in the case law in the Pentateuch, can I give you one? If you take the life of the unborn in the attack upon the woman carrying, then you forfeit your life as if you had taken the life of the woman herself. The Lord cares for life. Number three, God cares for the life of children. God cares for the life of children. There's an amazing moment in the Scripture. I love this moment. It is unrepeated in the earthly life of ministry. Do you remember the moment when the kids were trying to get to Jesus and the apostles were, they were screening Jesus' calls that day? And they were keeping them away? You know what I know? When I read that, you know what I know? None of the apostles were granddaddies. I know they're probably, most of them were daddies. And look, Jesus, they're going to come and ask, why, daddy? Well, granddaddies don't care about that. Granddaddies tell you and then say, go ask your daddy. This granddaddy thing is great. I mean, it's wonderful. So I know they weren't granddaddies. They were probably daddies. And they were screening the bothersome children. And Jesus said, no. Allow the children to come to me. And then He uses them as an illustration of conversion. He said, for as such are the kingdom of heaven. You have not a childish faith. Every believer has a childlike faith. For as such are the kingdom of heaven. Then He did something He didn't do anywhere else in the Scripture. He took His hands, which is unbelievably meaningful in that culture, the Hebrew culture. He took His hands and He placed it upon them. And He gave them a benediction. And He blessed them and laid His hands upon them. And when He loves children, He doesn't just love them when they've taken their first breath. He loved them to form them in the womb. When Elizabeth proclaims a Savior has come to the earth through Mary, it's not after Jesus is born, it's while Jesus is in the womb. The Savior had come. In fact, the first convert of the one who came to seek and save the lost in His earthly ministry took place while He was in the womb, and the convert was in the womb. John the Baptist was quickened in the womb of Elizabeth while Jesus is in the womb. When does our sin record begin? In the womb. In sin, my mother conceived me. That's not saying conception is sin. It's not saying the marriage bed is sin by which the child is conceived. What it's saying is this. When we begin our life, we also begin with a sin record and a sin nature. And it starts at our conception. Not when we took our first birth. When we took our first breath, we start sinning. And we sin because we're sinners. And that all started right in our conception. God cares about children all the way in the womb. When did He call John the Baptist? In the womb. When did He call? Did you read it? Jeremiah chapter 1? When was Jeremiah called to serve the Lord? In the womb. The call in Jeremiah 1 was the second call. The first call was when he was in the womb. God cares about children. Did you hear those covenant promises? Of course, we had to... Forgot the water, so we had to get the water up there. But y'all noticed that, didn't you? I wasn't able to pull that off too well. That was a moment I was glad I wasn't a Baptist, because it would have been hard to fill up the tank right then, I can tell you that. But we got everything covered, praise the Lord. But did you hear those covenant promises? Those glorious covenant promises, I'll be a God to you and to your children after you. He has built His gracious promises into the covenant, including God's kindness to our covenant children. And so all of this, God cares about children from conception on. Now, God, you've brought me to yourself. I've cast all my cares upon you. What you care for, I care for. You care for life. I commit life. You care for children from conception on. Then I want to care for that which you care for. I care. And then number four, God cares about men and women. women in crisis pregnancies, women who have been active with sexual immorality or even promiscuity. He cares about saving them, like Mary Magdalene and others. He cares about men. He cares about men who have brought the pressure to a woman to get rid of a child. He cares about saving them and those who run the abortuaries. He cares about saving sinners, men and women. And what he's saying is, turn ye, turn ye. I have cared for you. My son died that you might be forgiven and renewed. Where there was fear and guilt and shame, I will replace the fear with love, and I'll remove the guilt with forgiveness, and I'll send my spirit, and once was ashes will become roses. He cares about men and women. Fifthly, God cares, and that's why there's the gospel. Jesus Christ came into this world to save sinners, abortionists, people who have decided for it, even people who have made their money off of it. He cares about them, that they would be convicted of their sins and repent and put their trust in Him. Men who have funded it or who have promoted it, He cares to bring conviction, that they would be saved from their sins. There is a glorious gospel. You say, Pastor, how can I possibly be forgiven? I'm running an abortuary. How can I, of the loss of these lives, how can I be forgiven of having made that decision? How can I be given for having paid for that decision? Listen, He saves sinners. And you say, well, that's a taking of a life. He saved David. David took a life. He saved Paul. Paul took lives of believers. He saved Moses. Moses killed a man. He saves sinners. There is no sin He can't save you from. So come to Him. The only one you can't be saved from is the one when the Holy Spirit calls you to come to Him and you say, no, I think the answer's somewhere else. And He's got the gospel so that you won't be deceived by the deceitfulness of a world that has fabricated a culture of death as if it's salvation, so that when a woman's in that moment and a man's in that moment, the answer is death. And it's an absolute fabrication of insanity proportions that are unimaginable. And the gospel will let you see through it and say, no, there's a Savior. And there's a people of God who have also been saved from their sins. And they will not embrace my sin, but they will embrace me, a sinner, and help me walk away from it because Christ has forgiven me. And they will love me because they care. And they care because God cares. And the gospel drives us to care and teaches us how to care. Well, let me give you a takeaway, if I can. Because this gospel causes us to care, I want to give you three things that I want to ask you to do in this cult, this need to walk away and remove the culture of death and put in a culture of life. The first one is this: the gospel causes us to care. So number one, pray. And this is not me just nodding my head to it. I was so thankful to hear the young ladies that when they said, would you do something for us? Would you pray? Folks, this is spiritual warfare. This is not a culture war. The culture is the battlefield. This is a spiritual war. It's unbelievable. You've got multi-billion dollar industries invested in this thing. You've got the rebellion of man. We will not have God tell us that which is true. All of those things are before us today. This is a spiritual warfare. Only God, by His grace, can use His, empower His people to be both bold and humble, to be both courageous and compassionate. Only God, by His grace, can move and give eyes to see and ears to hear to abortionists and to those who have made the decisions, and to those who are in need and those who are facing crisis. This is a spiritual warfare, so we need to pray at all times. God, do Your work. We're here, we are available, we are engaged, but it is of You and from You, therefore we call upon You. Do something that can't be explained except by Your grace and Your glory and Your power. And then secondly, engage. Secondly, engage. Can I just mention one other thing on this pray? It is amazing. On January the 23rd is the commemoration of what was called the Roe v. Wade decision from 1973 that set this into motion legally. quote-unquote legally. There's something analogous to this in our culture. You remember when our culture was started? Our country was started, they wrote a document called the Declaration of Independence, and they wrote a thing called the Constitution. And we had this horrendous institution of sin called man-stealing, slavery. And most of the founding fathers wanted to get rid of it. But the problem was they couldn't get a nation together and get rid of it according to their thinking. Because you had the New England slave traders who were bringing them and the southern slave owners who were buying them. They brought them, they bought them. So no, if you did that way, if you put that away, so but here's what they decided to do. All right, we're going to do this. We're going to put a time bomb in the Constitution and the Declaration. This is the pursuit of life, liberty, and, I mean, this is life, the protection of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness for all of the citizens of the United States of America. And those citizens are persons. And they just figured it won't be long till you look at that person and realize slavery is absolutely illogical and absolutely in opposition to life and liberty and their pursuit of happiness. And we'll get rid of it. And certainly it started. John Adams and Thomas Jefferson even gave a warning. You know what their warning was? If you don't deal with it, it's amazing that Thomas Jefferson would say this because he was a deist and didn't believe, or at least, well, that's another discussion. But both of them said this, if you don't deal with it, God will visit this country with a judgment. And you would think that would have worked except for one thing. You cannot believe how insane we are with sin. So we came up with a Chief Justice by the name of John Taney came up with a written decision. And yes, every citizen is a person in the United States of America, and they have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. What are you going to do about slavery? Well, here's what we've decided is they're not people. Well, they are people of an, quote, inferior order. And they assigned them to being three-fifths of a person. Now, how stupid is that? They stripped them of all their dignity. They stripped them of declaring their personhood in order to accommodate an industry of horrific sin. Man-stealing. What if I was to tell you we're about to make that decision again on African Americans? You'd say, well, Pastor, we'll stand up against that. And hopefully you would. In 1973, we did the same thing. We took people who are people in the womb, and we declared them no longer people. We declared them potential people to accommodate our own convenience, our own culture of death. And we made that insane decision. When I read what Harry Blackmun wrote, the justice that wrote that, I cannot believe that an intelligent man would do that. But sin never makes sense. And so an industry, multi-billion industry, is upheld with this. And the deceitfulness to go to women and tell them this is a right or this is a piece of tissue. Folks, I've been in these debates time and time again with people a lot more intelligent than me. And I've never lost that debate as to what that is in the womb. It's not a potato. It's not going to be anything else. It's going to be a person because it is a person. And everything that's going to be is already there from the moment of conception. It's only going to grow. And we decided, no, that's not a person. And we don't care. And that was the decision that we made. People who are that willingly deceived into the insanity of sin and its treacherous results, we need to pray. This is a spiritual warfare. But secondly, we need to pray and we need to be engaged. I don't know where you're going to be engaged. We got the tables out there. I don't know where. Can I tell you? Can I just give? I know some of you think everybody ought to be engaged down in Montgomery. I know some of you think everybody ought to be engaged in adoption and everybody ought to be engaged. No, let me say this. Martin Luther said this. Wherever Satan brings the assault against the kingdom of God from the kingdom of darkness, at the point he brings the assault, if we don't meet him when the trumpet blows, if we don't go to the wall right there where he has brought the assault, everything else we're doing in Christianity is cowardice. And the trumpet has blown here. If you'll go read, I think the second great speech a president has ever made in this country was the second inaugural address of Abraham Lincoln. And if you'll read it, you can see the evidences of his conversion in 1863. But more than that, you can see his thoughtfulness. And interestingly, he actually is repeating phrases that Robert E. Lee had wrote in a letter, a Southerner. Here's what Lee said about the war. He said, "I believe ultimately this is the hand of God's judgment because we're all covered up in our sin. And God is bringing discipline and judgment to refine us." And go read Abraham Lincoln. "This cruel war has been the refining hand of God's judgment justly deserved. I pray we will learn from it, and He will purge us of our arrogance and our sin." Sometimes I wonder, with that Supreme Court decision and that industry of sin that was supported and embraced, I sometimes wonder, and I see the 600,000 plus lives lost in a war, I sometimes wonder what's in the near future for us. 3,000 plus every day. So the question is do you care? And there's multiple. Go where God leads you in this thing. Sometimes some of you are burdened for adoption, some foster care, some the sex education that we heard, some the counseling, some bringing these women into your home. There's room for all of it. And by the way, don't put somebody under the burden that they've got to have your passion. You say, we need to have a passion here. We need to meet it. We need to be engaged. But be engaged where God has called you. And all of these fronts need to be embraced because they're all dealing with the consequences of the sin that only the gospel can remove. So that's where I end up. So my invitation is come. The legacy of abortion is all around us. It's now, I remember when Dr. Schaefer warned us of this, it's been true. In the 1970s, he said, on the heels of abortion will come infanticide. All over in nurseries, there are signs, do not feed. And it's not because the child's about to die, let the child die. It's because the child is inconvenient. So from the womb, we've now moved to the nursery. Infanticide. Active euthanasia is being built into some of our laws right now. Not passive, active euthanasia. Genocidal death to whole classes of people, having stripped one of their personhood in the womb. We've even got the legacy of violence in our schools. It's interesting. I guess some of these children are thinking, I escaped the violence that was done, that could have been done to me in the womb. And I've got people that just, you know, they bully me. They do this, they do that. And if people could have gotten rid of me because I was inconvenient, why can't I get rid of them? And so they bring the guns. The culture of death and its death spiral is all around us. I believe the answer is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Pray. Be engaged, and then I would just share this. I care, so I'll share. Come. If the abortion has been in your life, come. Jesus Christ is ready to forgive you. If you paid for it, come. Jesus is ready to forgive you. Come and turn and put your trust in Him. If you've supported those industries or been a part of those industries, come. The Lord is ready to forgive you. And if we have not spoken and have not cared about what God cares, come. The Lord is ready to forgive you. And He has a glorious privilege that He will use you right where He has given you a burden and a passion. And by the way, I know I haven't done I share, but here's my closing thought. The I share and the I care are related. Do y'all know the Roman Empire was turned inside out by Christianity by 400 AD? Now, most people say, that's because Constantine got converted. Well, I know the emperor got converted, and he made an edict that Christianity was going to be there. And some people think, well, I wonder if he got conversion or he would just, I mean, there's a lot of Christians here now. I think I'll be one. I mean, I kind of hear those speeches from politicians from time to time. I wonder whether they're believers or not, but every speech ends with, and God bless America. So I don't know. I think Constantine was converted. But it's true. Christianity was moving powerfully in the Roman Empire. You can read, not our propagandists, read the Roman historians, read Eusebius, read Pliny, read Herodotus. When you read these people, do you know what they say? They refer to our Didache, which said, as believers, we will not engage in abortion. Infanticide was, and abortion was the rule of the realm in Rome. They said, we will not engage in it as believers. But they also record something else. The aborted babies And the babies that were deemed wrong gender, and therefore we don't want them, here's how they did it in Rome. They had a river that they did a pagan ritual and threw them in the river to die or to be carried away. Here's what they wrote. The Christians are taking the babies out of the river as fast as we can throw them in there. I care opened the door for I share. God cares for life. Let's care for what God cares for.
Millions of innocent American lives have been lost in our nation's ongoing war against the sanctity of life through the acceptance and promotion of abortion. When will our country and the American church begin to care about human life that God cares so passionately about? If you would like to receive an audio copy of the entire message from which today's In Perspective broadcast was taken, write and request, I Care What God Cares About, or simply ask for message number 11701. Again, that's I Care What God Cares About, message number 11701. We do request $5 to underwrite the cost of the CD when you request today's message. Address your request to In Perspective, 2200 Briarwood Way, Birmingham, Alabama 35243. Email inperspective@briarwood.org. In the world, the workplace, and even in the church, there is an obvious lack of biblical, godly, dynamic leadership. Dr. Harry Reeder's new book, 3D Leadership, is devoted to equipping the church and believers to multiply and mobilize leaders in all walks of life. This expanded, revised, and reformatted publication of the leadership dynamic includes discussion questions at the end of each chapter. It is a great resource for your personal development, group Bible study, or for church officer and leadership training. 3D Leadership, defining, developing, and deploying Christian leaders who can change the world. To order your copy, go to briarwood.org/3D. That's briarwood.org/3D. We do hope Harry's teaching on In Perspective is being used to strengthen your walk in Christ and your understanding of God's Word. For additional video, audio, and written resources, download the Briarwood app. Go to your favorite app store, type in Briarwood PCA. The app is yours free of charge. Harry would love to hear back from you. Write In Perspective, 2200 Briarwood Way, Birmingham, Alabama 35243. Email Harry at inperspective@briarwood.org. Join us again next time as Harry takes us back into the Scriptures so that we might learn to put all of life in biblical perspective.